Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon and welcome to this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. There's no surprise as to what's on the mind of every person in the United States of America right now. And I want to make clear, this isn't just on the mind of us who live here in the United States of America. It is also on the collective minds of the entire world. All the world looks on with bated breath at the results of every single United States election. This one is no different. Every single one of them has been the most important election of that year. And as such, and this is true for every election ought to be treated with that level of importance and reverence. Now, considering this, as we fast and pray for this nation, one of the things we ought to also realize is that regardless of the outcome, Christ is King. Christ is in control. Anxieties are most probably at an all-time high today until results come out. And in fact, for some people, no matter how we swing this, the results are going to incur some level of anxiety. We're going to talk with my friend Greg Popchek, the founder and director of CatholicCounselors.com, about, and he's also the host of More to Life with his bride Lisa, which is produced by Ave Maria Radio and airs on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And we'll be talking about the place of anxiety in the Christian faith and how the faith calls us to respond to it. Because here's the thing, the Church doesn't shirk away the reality that human beings suffer from anxiety and worry and things of concern. The Church has a response because Christ has a response. And so we will talk about that in terms of living an unworried life. We move on from there to speak with my friend John Pinheiro, Director of Research at the Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty. And we will talk about the Great American Experiment and the price that we ought to pay for freedom and the appreciation of the Catholic heritage of our Democratic Republic freedom. And then finally, I'd like to lead all of us through a prayer and meditation for our nation and seeking the intercession of our Blessed Virgin Mother and her patronage over every single state in our Blessed Union. For now, the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Tuesday, November 5th. It's the Feast of St. Guido Maria Conforti. Today's news brought to you by Visiting Angels, providing loving care and assistance for seniors in need. VisitingAngels.com. Some political experts think it may take days before a clear winner is declared in the race for the White House. Trump says he'll accept the results if the election is fair.
If I lose an election, if it's a fair election, I'd be the first one to acknowledge it.
In 2020, most news outlets did not declare that Joe Biden was the winner until 4 days after Election Day. Two polling locations in a key swing state of Georgia were temporarily evacuated this morning after bomb threats. Fulton County officials say 5 non-credible bomb threats were received this morning. The threats led to evacuations at a senior center and an elementary school. The county is now trying to obtain a court order that will allow those locations to stay open 30 minutes later to accommodate those voters. A Kenyan man is being found guilty of conspiring to steal a passenger plane and then commit a 9/11-inspired attack under direction of a terrorist organization. Cholo Abdi Abdullah was found guilty Monday of conspiring to murder U.S. nationals and to provide material support to a terrorist organization. He faces life in prison. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is firing his defense minister. This comes after Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant have reportedly been at odds over the conduct of the war in the Gaza Strip and Lebanon. In a statement, Netanyahu said the trust between himself and Gallant have cracked over the last few months. The U.S. Central Command says that U.S. forces in the Middle East have killed over 160 state Islamic group militants since August. Statement Monday went on to say that another 33 have been captured in operations across Iraq and Syria. From your AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. As Americans head to the polls, millions are expressing two feelings. Relief that the election cycle is over, and I know, personally, I know people who've expressed that to me, and fear for what the results might bring. I personally know people have expressed that as well. So how can we stay peaceful in the face of things that we have no control over? We discuss how to reduce or even eliminate anxiety with Dr. Greg Popchak, who runs the Pastoral Solutions Institute with his bride, Lisa Popchak, and they also run the Catholic Home app, which Catholic H-O-M Home app, which provides resources for Catholic families to thrive. Greg, great to speak with you again. How are you?
I'm anxious. No, I'm very happy to be here, Marcus. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And I have been looking forward to this without any anxiety, I must say. So let's acknowledge the elephant in the room here, and that's not a political pun at all. Sorry, I'm a little pleased at myself for that.
You should be chuffed.
So, the elephant in the room that I am referring to is that for some reason we all seem to gravitate towards living anxious lives, which is so contrary to the Christian call of how we ought to live, and yet it seems to be the kind of default that we fall into, especially as we live more and more secular lives. So let's begin there, Greg.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Brain scientists tell us that the brain is actually hardwired to be anxious, mm-hmm. Except in one condition, when we feel connected to people. Mm. So there's the biological basis for this is that, you know, imagine you're walking with your tribe through the woods, right? And you've got people who have your back, so you don't have to worry about a saber-toothed tiger jumping out and gnawing off your head.
Right.
But you're walking through the woods by yourself, and you're not connected to your tribe, you need to be on alert. And so what we see is anxiety increasing commensurate with the degree to which I feel disconnected from God, from people, from my best self. And that's really the actual cause of anxiety. You know, we have a tendency to think that it's anxiety is caused by the various problems that we encounter and the things that are going on in the world. And of course, those are triggers for it. But here's the thing. When you're going through a problem, and think about this in your own life, when you go through a problem but you have a lot of support, a lot of love, you feel connected to the people around you, you feel connected to God, when you have those kind of miraculous moments where everybody rallies around you and God is making himself abundantly present, you're not anxious, even though the world is falling apart.
Right.
But in those times where you just wake up on a Monday and nothing's wrong and you feel disconnected from God or from the people, you're terrified. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you've got an elephant sitting on your chest. It's not so much the problems that we face, but the degree to which those problems threaten our connections with God, with others, and with our best self. And you even see this, we talked about this actually in More to Life today a bit, you even see this in the Genesis story, right, where when Adam and Eve are created, right, they're completely vulnerable, mm-hmm. And they're completely at peace, right, the world is huge, they're standing there in the garden naked, and they're at complete peace because they're at one with God, uh-huh. with each other and creation. But then sin enters the world and ruptures that connection, and for the first time they feel alone. And what do? In the sense of they have this sense of the smallness and the bigness of the world, and they hide, because all of a sudden, because they're experiencing that sense of disconnection, they feel anxious. You know, the fall was the first panic attack.
That's a very good way of putting it, because that disconnect from God induced a true sense of terror and trepidation within their souls, and that's really akin to what we experience when we're having panic and panic attacks.
That's right. Every day, you know, and so whether that's you know, everyday anxiety or the more serious kind of clinical anxiety that you're talking about with panic attacks, but you know, in both cases, yes, certainly. I'm not minimizing the fact that many people deal with very serious problems, and we should take that seriously, of course. Mm-hmm. But when we look at what actually causes anxiety, both on a neurological and social level, it isn't really the problems that we're going through so much as the sense that those problems are or could separate us from the people that we love, from God, or even from our best selves.
Right. So In light of that, then, first of all, I'm going to be a little tongue-in-cheek here. Therefore, what we can learn from this is, if we ever experience anxiety or even panic situations and panic attacks, we can blame Adam and Eve. But that being said...
Everything's their fault at the end, though, isn't it?
At the end of the day, yes. Yes, just easy to scapegoat them that way. But that being said, when we consider living Christian lives, Christ tells us, be perturbed over nothing. With prayers and supplication, make your requests known to God. So clearly, there is a way to alleviate these feelings of anxiety from within.
Yes, and I don't want to oversimplify it, because the reality is, fighting back against anxiety, especially clinical levels of anxiety or anxiety disorders, is a very serious and difficult thing. And there are lots of people who do feel guilty. You know, they feel condemned by conversations like this, because you know it's like they think we're saying you should just be able to you know go give somebody a hug and then not be anxious anymore. And that's not what I'm suggesting at all.
Uh-huh.
But what I am saying is that there is more hope than most people think there is for coming against anxiety.
Uh-huh.
So my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you know, sometimes people will challenge me on that and say, well, you know, that's a cute title and all, but you don't really mean it, do you? And yes and no. I mean, because again, as fallen human beings, we all experience some degree of anxiety, and some people experience more anxiety than others. But one of the distinctions that I make in the book is the difference between anxiety and a concern. You know, it's perfectly reasonable to be concerned about things, to say, okay, there's a problem. And, you know, if I'm concerned about the problem, it allows me to say, problem. And then what will I do about this problem? Let me gather some resources. Let me gather my support. Let me bring it to God. Let me make a plan. Let me respond to this problem in some way.
Right.
When I'm anxious about a problem, I say, problem. And then I just think, and that's a really big problem. And oh my gosh, how am I going to get out of the way of that problem? And what happens if that problem becomes this other problem and then builds another problem and it snowballs? And so I'm not concerned anymore. I'm anxious. I'm not problem solving. I'm not gathering resources. I'm not drawing closer to God or the supports that God has placed in my life. I'm just reacting and terrified and not really thinking at that point. And so what a lot of us think is that because it was an external trigger that brought on the anxiety, then the solution is an external solution. I have to go around and doing all the things. I'm going to clean my house from top to bottom. I'm going to solve all the problems. I'm going to stay up all night working on the thing. I'm going to just sit in the corner and worry, because if I could just wrap my head around it, then finally I can stop feeling so anxious all the time.
Right.
And really it's the opposite. It's about how to center myself and how to stop giving into that urge to run around and fix things, and instead turn inward and try to find that peaceful place where God is inside of me, reconnect with the people who love me, and even through their support and through God's grace, try to identify my best self so I can make a response to that. And I'm not saying that we get to a perfectly blissed out place where I'm not concerned about anything or worried about anything, but we can take down that level of anxiety by remembering to turn inward and be more intentional and receptive in that anxious moment, instead of just reacting to it and trying to adjust everything going on outside of me in the hopes that somehow that will fix stuff that's going on inside of me.
And that's exactly it, right? Especially when you consider what today is and the elections that are going on. We have no control over that. That's something truly outside of myself. But what you're suggesting is the best way we can respond to it.
Well, exactly. And, you know, today on More to Life, we always have a scripture of the day. And our scripture came from Proverbs 4:25, which is, "Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure." When we confront something like an election that we can't do anything about, that we can't control the outcome, I think this verse really centers us on what exactly we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You keep your eyes forward and you keep doing the work that God has given you to do. You know, whoever's president tomorrow, my work in trying to heal families and bring God's grace to people and bring healing to people doesn't change. Now, the context in which I do that work might change, but the actual work doesn't. And the same thing is true for all of our listeners. God has given you a mission to do. Keep doing that mission and learn how to do it regardless of what's going on in the circumstances. Because if you keep your feet on the path and you keep your eyes on that path, God's going to give you peace.
Thank you so much. My guest, Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we've been talking about how to alleviate some of the anxiety of this election season. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Missed the beginning, can't catch the end, or you want to hear it again? All Ave Maria Radio programs can be heard at AveMariaRadio.net or on the Ave Maria Radio app. Then share it with your friends to help spread the Catholic faith. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is sponsored by Workforce Pay Hub, providing payroll, time tracking, HR management, and benefits administration, all with a dedicated customer-centric service team. More information can be found at workforcepayhub.com.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. In 1995, Pope St. John Paul II proclaimed, "America has always wanted to be a land of the free. Today, the challenge facing America is to find freedom's fulfillment in the truth." And despite this, many academics still question whether Catholicism is compatible with the American project in liberal democracy. We are joined by my friend John Pinheiro to talk about this. John is director of research at the Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty. He's the author of books and articles on the early American Republic, including the award-winning Missionaries of Republicanism, A Religious History of the Mexican-American War, and The American Experiment in Ordered Liberty. You can visit his work at acton.org. John, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Thank you very much, Marcus. I'm fine, thanks.
How goes it on putting a finger on the pulse of the nation, especially with regard to free, fair elections and the exercise of virtuous liberty?
How hard is it? Well, these days it seems harder than ever. And I think one of the things complicating this is it's not so much any one person's rhetoric, but it's really the prevalence of technology. And it's a difficulty of most of us to verify things quickly.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, please.
Oh, no. If you can imagine when we used to wait till the next day to wake up and see a newspaper that says Dewey beats Truman, which, you know, didn't turn out so well.
No,
right?
It didn't.
You had a limited number of sources. Now we have many, many sources, which is actually, I think it's a wonderful and democratic thing to have all those sources. But of course, it means there's more left up to us as individuals to have to ascertain the truth of what we're seeing. It's easier to mislead people in all sorts of ways. And of course, I guess the more people voting, the more chance you have for shenanigans, as it were.
Yeah.
But if we look at the long history of the United States in terms of elections, I think we've done really well. I mean, especially compared to most other New World republics.
Mm-hmm. And therein lies the real greats of the United States as a whole. That, yes, we don't have it perfect, but point me to a nation that does. And at the same time, point me to a nation that is as equitable and as free and as virtuously possessing of liberty as the United States does. So we have a lot to be hopeful for and therefore a lot to fight for.
Yeah, we have a lot to be hopeful for. And I think one thing, as a Catholic, one thing I always want to avoid doing is to turn that hope into some kind of Pollyanna approach, right? Mm. Well, you know, we're so much better than these other countries, so relatively, aren't we just doing, we're doing great. And that's, that's how you sort of rest back and lose your liberties.
Yep.
And that's how you lose your freedoms, because you don't stay attentive to them and protecting them.
Yep, the tree of liberty must be rewatered from time to time with the blood of tyrants and patriots. And we're coming to an age where all of those liberties that we've taken for granted are the very things that are coming into question and potentially being taken away from us. Now, let's talk about Catholicism and the teachings of Catholicism in light of compatibility with the American project of liberty.
Religious liberty, especially, has been, you know, there's been ups and downs for Catholics in our history, of course. I wrote about that in my Missionaries of Republicanism book.
Mm-hmm.
But there hasn't been a lot better places for religious liberty for Catholics in the United States since the late 1800s. And in fact, if you were to look at some of the so-called Catholic integralist states of yesteryear, whether in the 1800s or certain 20th century states, those states always ended up terrible for the church, for its clergy, and I would say even for evangelization more importantly. And so there's something about that American model where there were many Protestant Americans who said, look, to be a good Republican with a lowercase r, to be able to cooperate with Republican government and cooperate with these freedoms, you couldn't be Catholic, because the Catholic Church taught that you should condemn this array of freedom. So you have to be Protestant. But there were many Catholics, Orestes Brownson in the 19th century, Isaac Hecker in the 19th century, in the United States, and Cardinal Gibbons, others, who said, no, that's not the case. And so Catholics have been have done very well in the United States, despite those early ups and downs. But I think we are at a, I don't want to say we're at a crossroads. That sounds like I'm, you know, running for office and it's either my way or no way. But I think we are at a pivot point in the last 20 years when it comes to the liberties of Catholics, in when it comes to, say, things like adoption, medical care. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fields where there's a secularist push promoted by the government in ways that, if secularism was recognized as a church, would be forbidden by the First Amendment, and pushing Catholics out of these areas. It's very purposeful. It's not by happenstance,
but that's right.
Definitely on purpose. It's programmatical.
Which raises to my memory stuff that you've talked about in the past, about what Chesterton thought about the founding of the United States. It's being founded on the notion of a creed, its dogmatic, theological, philosophical lucidity. These are the foundational principles that undergird the framing of this nation. And because of that, the liberties that we enjoy, that have created this prosperity that we have, all of these are the result of these principles, and therefore they ought to return to those principles for their preservation.
And the moment you profess belief in God, you've just limited the state and what the state can do, because you've said that there's something that transcends the state. There's a moral law, there's a law of behavior that transcends the state, and the state can't abrogate that. And we see that even in the Declaration of Independence. And that was written by Thomas Jefferson, who, I mean, to put it kindly, was a heterodox believer of sorts.
Yep.
He was not an atheist. He was not an agnostic. He believed in pursuit of truth, which is why he was so vehement about religious liberty. But he actually did think truth existed. And so in writing the Declaration, even Jefferson realized that you couldn't make liberty somehow a gift of the state, because the giver can take us away.
Mm-hmm.
And so that foundational belief in God, that should undergird our system. But I think things have been turned on its head in some ways in the promotion of radical secularism.
Right. Which unfortunately flies in the face of the very notion of the republic that allows for that liberty of secularism, right? The genius of this great American experiment is that dynamism of the sovereignty of the people. And that cannot be taken for granted, that there is a truly equal footing. But even that notion comes from a Judeo-Christian heritage.
Right, and we don't want to pretend, we should never pretend, that secularism, that somehow religious liberty implies a neutrality of sorts, or mm-hmm. that secularism itself is neutral, because of course any school is not going to be neutral, because it has mores and yep. knowledge and information that it wants to impart, and one generation imparts its wisdom and mores to the next. And this, if it's not happening in homes, it's going to happen in schools, or it's going to happen in both places. And so I always like to pause here and say what we're called to be is prudent mm-hmm. in the application of our Catholic principles. And I completely understand why there are Catholic and non-Catholic Christians who say things have gotten so out of control. Isn't there a way in which we could pass coercive laws that would somehow promote the faith or public morality in ways that we're just not doing now, to stop some of the zaniness, unnatural and things that they're just outside of common sense. And you would think you wouldn't even have to have positive law to forbid these things, because who would do them? And yet here we are.
Here we are, exactly. And we are continuing this conversation with John Pinheiro, Director of Research at the Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty. We are essentially talking about the heritage of liberty and the American experiment in light of Catholic faith and church teachings. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Hello, I'm Marian Kuharski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options, and we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
Pro-Life Across America.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. My guest, John Pinheiro, Director of Research at the Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty, and we are talking about American liberty as the great experiment in light of the teachings of the Catholic Church. So, John, let's pick up where we left off earlier. We understand that there are certain undergirding principles that come from Judeo-Christianity, and the funny thing is, I believe with reasonable certitude that if we were to speak to the Founding Fathers about what they understood the Constitution spoke for, they would simply say that there's no need for a tremendous amount of positive laws or a tremendous amount of amendments, because the presupposition here is that we are guided by certain principles that are religious and virtuous. But in an increasingly secularized state, those safeguards are no longer there, and therefore we're suffering as a nation.
Yes, so the difficulty I see is that there are so many forces arrayed against the necessary foundation that makes the Constitution work. Mm-hmm. This is what's dangerous. And the United States, other somewhat Christian states over the years, let's say in Europe, there is long this assumption that you have these undergirding virtues and values. And yeah, they somehow came from the Judeo-Christian tradition and from the church, but we don't really need those anymore because we're all just really good people. And so eventually what occurred was the secularization and humanitarianism took over from the church and all those civil associations mm-hmm. that stand between man and the government and eviscerated them. So what we thought would take place, I guess, is that we would be able to function as a society and that somehow the government wouldn't turn atheist and eviscerate those things. But now we have the state kind of arrayed in ways I don't think it quite understands, arrayed against the very foundations of that state, particularly against religious freedom. And so I think that's not a consequence of religious freedom. Mm-hmm. That's a consequence of the state promoting secularization.
Right.
That's not a consequence of religious freedom. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Second Vatican Council, John Paul himself are all clear that we have to propose and not impose the faith. And we look back to Thomas Aquinas, who said, look, you can't outlaw everything that's wrong or bad or harmful. Mm-hmm. There are trade-offs, and we have to think about that because we're social beings that exist in society, and we need society. And government is not a necessary evil for Christians. It's a positive good, but it has to be kept within its own sphere.
Right.
It has to be limited because we're sinful.
That's right?
Because we're sinful, we have to limit that government. But we haven't limited it. And in the process, we've cut out those things where people used to use to fend for themselves, whether it's schools. These are all the civic associations that Tocqueville wrote about.
And right. said
this is the reason the Americans managed to have democracy and be religious at the same time and managed not to have constant ongoing revolutions. It's because of their various associations. They do things for themselves. They don't get rid of those associations that then centralize everything in the government that starts to do for them, eventually pushing the church and the family and the parish. This is the Catholic tradition. The churches are our model. We start at the family level. We go to the parish. Mm-hmm. We don't start at the top and come down to coercion.
That's right. And one would think that at the very least, looking back to the Catholic tradition, its tradition of natural law, you think about Augustine, you think about St. Thomas Aquinas, so much so that when you look at Martin Luther King's writings in his letters from Birmingham jail, he notes that we have this great heritage of the natural law at play here. And the natural law does, in fact, call for this kind of a subservience to a law that's greater than even civil authority. And therein lies the issue. When governments push forth a secularist notion, really what they're pushing forth is an absolutist view of government power. And that's precisely what we don't want.
And they take on more and more. Government is like a black hole, right? What goes in, what gets in the gravitational pool doesn't come out, so you need to be very, very careful what you put into the gravitational pool. And I've found it fascinating that a Baptist minister had to quote Thomas Aquinas and Augustine. but the point is that these are the law written on the heart, as St. Paul says, that everybody through reason can recognize these things. There's things we don't need revelation for when it comes to what we refer to as the natural law. These are things that all people of goodwill reasonably can arrive at. And when they don't, we have to ask, well, what's gotten in the way?
Mm-hmm.
What's pushing against the recognition of what used to just be called common sense?
And this is precisely what brings to mind, for example, the writings of Tocqueville, right, who points out that, yes, America is a new nation, but the people who lived there had long been accustomed to the exercise of liberty elsewhere. On the one hand, he's talking about facets of these liberties in different nations across the world before they came to the U.S. But on the other hand, what he's talking about is this recognition of these liberties as divinely given gifts by virtue of us being bearers of the divine image. And again, somewhere in natural law is spoken this reality that we ought not take for granted. And government is meant to enshrine and honor that reality. Individual liberty means necessitating limited government.
And this is what the Catholic principle of subsidiarity is.
Right.
Government is there to enable and help us in those things that we do for ourselves, in our liberties. Our liberties come with responsibilities. We have to be free to enjoy and engage in our responsibilities, too. We don't just want to farm all the responsibilities off to the government. Then we just ask for rights. That's kind of where we're at. So there's a great, the Catholic tradition is a real resource for the United States at this point in time. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be fooled into thinking that ideas like equality and even elective government somehow are a creation of the secular Enlightenment.
Right.
The idea of private property and voting, these things originated deep in the medieval period, mm-hmm. in the Code of Justinian, in the elections that religious orders held, that the College of Cardinals held for popes.
Mm-hmm.
These are very Catholic ideas. That Thomas Aquinas talked about, that those who have a stake in something have a right to have a voice in that thing.
You know, John, this is going to sound really childish even as I say it, but here's the truth. In order to prevent absolute power, which corrupts absolutely, we must disseminate that power. The power must be distributed. And the Founding Fathers understood this well. The Church has always understood this well. That's why the papacy and our clerical hierarchy is not a dictatorship. It's a kind of benevolent monarchy, sure, but the powers are distributed. Bishops are in charge of their dioceses. Everyone answers to God. So you think about John Adams and how he thought about the revolution. He spoke about it as creating a confederacy of states, each of which must have a separate government. It's plain as day here that the federal government is at the service of the state, and the state is at the service of, break it all the way down, to the individual and the family.
And Jefferson called the states the most conservative power that there was. Because that's the real bulwark between you and the U.S. government. Now, things are different with the income tax amendments and the direct election of senators. There's a lot of water under the bridge, of course, from the time Jefferson was writing about that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I meant by that is that the states existed as states, right? They created the union. This is why, at least in my opinion, the Electoral College is a beautiful thing.
Yep.
For you know, it's important to understand what that means. It's states are electing presidents, for instance.
Yep.
We don't have a plebiscitary democracy in the United States, and it's because that absolute power, it's not just a matter of falling in the hands of one person, but there's the tyranny of the majority you also have to worry about.
You know, I love that you mentioned the Electoral College. I just had a conversation with Tara Ross about the necessity of the Electoral College and preserving true Republican democracy. John, thank you for joining us. God bless you, and thank you for making the time.
Bless you, too.
My guest, John Pinheiro, who is director of research for the Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty, and we've been talking about the American experiment in ordered liberty. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Did you know my mom's gonna have a baby? We heard the heartbeat and my dad said this is gonna be someone very special.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We hope you'll consider supporting the work of Pro-Life Across America. Your gift will help offer life-saving alternatives to those in need. Visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or like us on Facebook.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
How is the priestly prayer of Jesus unique in the economy of salvation? According to the Catholic Catechism, it is unique because it reveals the ever-present prayer of Jesus and at the same time contains what Jesus teaches us about our prayer to our Father. As Jesus fulfills his Father's plan of love, he gives us a glimpse of the depth of his filial prayer when he agonizes in the garden, "Abba, not my will, but thine." His last words on the cross exhibit prayer and gift of self as one when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Later, with a loud cry, he surrenders his spirit. All the troubles for all times, states the Catechism, of humanity enslaved by sin and death, All the petitions and intercessions of salvation history are summed up in this cry of the Incarnate Word. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. As we round off our concerns for today, and as we close off this program today, I want to draw our attention to the things of heaven, to having a spiritual, eternal perspective. And so for this segment, I'd like to seek the intercession of our Blessed Virgin Mother to pray for our nation. On December the 12th, 1999, Pope St. John Paul II proclaimed Our Lady of Guadalupe as patroness of the Americas. And a less well-known fact is that our Lord's Holy Mother Mary, under the title of the Immaculate Conception, had been recognized as patroness of the United States, so not just the Americas, but the United States, since 1846. Now, I'm particularly affiliated with that title of Mary because that was the feast day that I entered into the Catholic Church. That's the doctrine, actually, that aided me in returning back to the Church. And this has been she's been recognized as patron of the United States since 1846, and under a variety of titles, she's now the sole patroness of all 50 states, with the exception of Colorado, which names St. Francis of Assisi as a co-patron. As millions of Americans are concerned about our electoral process right now, and whichever candidate receives the election, the victory as the next president of the United States, we don't need to fear. We need not give in to division, illness, fear, anxiety, or even a troubled heart. Instead, we want to offer a litany to our Blessed Virgin Mother. And so we invite you to pray with us. Pray in the hope that our nation be blessed, that it may be converted, healed, that it may repent, that it may return to the heart of our Lord and the heart of our Lady. May it be a secular state that returns to the sacred. May it be guided by infinite wisdom and truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, forever and ever. Amen. Seeking the intercession of our Blessed Virgin Mother for all 50 states. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Litany to the Immaculate Conception, Patroness of the United States of America. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. O Mary, Immaculate Conception, Patroness of the United States of America, pray for us. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Patroness of the Americas, pray for us. Our Lady of the Gulf, Patroness of the State of Alabama, pray for us. Our Lady of the Kodiak and the Islands, Patroness of Alaska, pray for us. Our Lady of the Highways, Patroness of Arizona, pray for us. Our Lady of Holy Souls, Patroness of Arkansas, pray for us. Our Lady of the Refuge and of the Wayside, Patroness of California, pray for us. Immaculate Mary, Patroness of Colorado, pray for us. Notre Dame of Easton, Patroness of Connecticut, pray for us. Our Lady of Mercy, Patroness of Delaware, pray for us. Our Lady of La Leche, Patroness of Florida, pray for us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, Patroness of Georgia, pray for us. Our Lady Queen of Peace and Star of the Sea, Patroness of Hawaii, pray for us. Our Lady of Limerick, patroness of Idaho, pray for us. Our Lady of the Universe, patroness of Illinois, pray for us. Our Lady of Providence, patroness of Indiana, pray for us. Mary of Nazareth, patroness of Iowa, pray for us. Mary, Queen of Angels, patroness of Kansas, pray for us. Mary, Mother of God, patroness of Kentucky, pray for us. Our Lady of Prompt Succor, patroness of Louisiana, pray for us. Our Lady of Peace, patroness of Maine, pray for us. Our Lady of the Assumption, patroness of Maryland, pray for us. Our Lady of the Incarnation, patroness of Massachusetts, pray for us. Our Lady Gate of Heaven, patroness of Michigan, pray for us. Our Lady Mother of the Church, patroness of Minnesota, pray for us. Our Lady of the Sorrows, patroness of Mississippi, pray for us. Our Lady of Calvary, patroness of Missouri, pray for us. Our Lady of the Pines, patroness of Montana, pray for us. Our Lady of the Presentation, patroness of Nebraska, pray for us. Our Lady of Las Vegas, patroness of Nevada, pray for us. Our Lady of Perpetual Help, patroness of New Hampshire, pray for us. Our Lady of Fatima, patroness of New Jersey, pray for us. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of New Mexico, pray for us. Our Lady Help of Christians, patroness of New York, pray for us. Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, patroness of North Carolina, pray for us. Mary, Queen of Peace, patroness of North Dakota, pray for us. Our Lady of Consolation, patroness of Ohio, pray for us. Our Lady Queen of All Saints, patroness of Oklahoma, pray for us. Our Lady of the Woods, patroness of Oregon, pray for us. Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, patroness of Pennsylvania, pray for us. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, patroness of Rhode Island, pray for us. Mary Virgin Mother, patroness of South Carolina, pray for us. Our Lady of the Prairie, patroness of South Dakota, pray for us. Our Lady of Lourdes, patroness of Tennessee, pray for us. Our Lady of the Annunciation, patroness of Texas, pray for us. Our Lady of the Snows, patroness of Utah, pray for us. Our Lady of Grace, patroness of Vermont, pray for us. Our Lady Queen of the Apostles, patroness of Virginia, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Help, patroness of Washington, pray for us. Our Lady of Victory, patroness of West Virginia, pray for us. Our Lady of the Americas, patroness of Wisconsin, pray for us. Our Lady of the Valley, patroness of Wyoming, pray for us. All Saints of America, pray for us. All you holy men and women, pray for us. O Mary, through his messenger Gabriel, the Holy One and Creator of the universe, proposed something difficult and unimaginable to you. While justly wondering at this request, you nevertheless made your assent in perfect trust. Thus you became the Ark of the New Covenant, the pure vessel from whom the Christ, Jesus the Divine Savior, took his flesh and blood in order to redeem us. May we take courage from your example, remembering that God's love for every one of us surpasses our understanding, and that God's plans always redound to our good, even if we cannot clearly see how in the present moment. Pray for us in our civic concerns and help us to address them with the faith, humility, and perfect trust you modeled for us at the Annunciation and throughout your life. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray, Lord, have mercy upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Place this in our Blessed Virgin Mother's hands. Place this in our Holy Father, Saint Joseph's hands. Place this in Saint Michael's hands. And trust in the Lord our God, who never fails us, even when, and I argue when, especially when things are darkest, or they seem darkest, he never turns his back on his children. We have to remember that in the letter to the Romans, Paul assures us, this is in chapter 8, 28, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who have been called unto his purpose. All things, and that includes the good of our nation. We are citizens of Christ's church first, children of the Father first, members of God's covenant family first, and then are we citizens of our sovereign nations on earth. And because of this, heaven becomes our eternal home. Heaven becomes the place that we look to, and our work in building the community of Christ, the kingdom of God here on earth, is an emulation of the glory of God to be seen in heaven. And I want to make clear here, what marks heaven isn't political peace. It isn't camaraderie between man with his fellow man. It is ultimately the fullness of the glory of God and the accomplishment of the full will of divine providence. So if we want to truly transform our world, then we Catholics have to rise up, to take up arms, to live out the fullness of the will of God and everything that God calls us to, which is full faithfulness to all the teachings of the Catholic Church. And I assure you, if every Catholic were to do so, in one generation, the entire world, let alone the United States, will be transformed. And that, my friends, is our ultimate call. So have hope. Look to the cross of Christ and do not worry. Because the crucifixion, the greatest evil that mankind has ever perpetrated, has become for us the source of the greatest salvation and redemption known to the history of mankind. Nothing brought about the atonement of mankind in a far greater way than the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And that is our assurance. So trust, pray, hope, do not worry. Cast all our cares upon him, for he truly cares for us. My encouragement is to continue to fast and pray for our nation. Even as the votes are being tallied, know this, Christ is King and Lord. He is in control. And all knees will bend before the kingship of Jesus Christ. Until next time for Ave Maria in the afternoon, I'm Marcus Peter. God bless our nation.